I would ask you to be seated, but you're already seated. So we have a little bit of a different service this morning. We would like very much to welcome Psalm 100. We have worshipped with you before, and we're very excited about it. If you are visiting with us today and would you like to sign the registry, it's in the narthex, and I'd like to welcome everyone this morning. I do have several announcements to bring to your attention. They are in your bulletin, most of them. A lot of people have asked about Reverend McCanch's wife, Donna, and her surgery went very well, and she is at home recovering. So that is good news. We have lots going on downstairs this morning with the approaching Christmas season. The This and That committee will be starting to take orders for the McMillan frozen foods. So if you're entertaining this Christmas, it's nice to have some things in your freezer. Also, we will be signing up for the ladies' Advent tea today. So you can just come and join a table, or you can create a table of six people. Margot will also be downstairs with the Christmas boxes, the shoe boxes, so you can pick up your shoe box today. The Hollyberry Bazaar will be selling raffle tickets, and they have their basket draw available to buy tickets for. The bazaar is on Saturday, November the 16th. And I've been asked to just mention to the people from the social club that there is no social club on Monday due to the funeral. And I think that is it. Okay.
We are called to be the light and the salt. Sure we are. Oh, they set me up. I don't know how to work the lighter. Oh, there's a trick. We are called to be the light and the salt of the world, and with this light we remind ourselves of that. Praise be to God. Let us start our service. Come on up. Sorry. Feeling a little bit like Vanna here. There's a lot of stuff on my head. So for those of you who haven't worshipped with us before, we are bringing some new music today. We are Psalm 100. We regularly go out into communities and bring new music. Sometimes it's a little loud, and sometimes it's a lot of fun, but we are Psalm 100. Just a little reminder, Psalm 100, the first line is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, not necessarily an in-tune noise to the Lord. So there's no excuse not to sing. The first song we're going to do is, Vanna, send me a letter. Next slide, Vanna. Oh, up one. Down one. let everything that has breath, and the lyrics will be on the slide. So next slide, and I'll sing there. All right. We'd like to thank Jennifer this morning, who was seconded and voluntold to run the PowerPoint. Thank you.
Well, that was awesome. Thank you. Please join me for the responsive call to worship, which you'll find in your bulletin. With eyes to see,
and ears to hear,
with lips to sing,
and hands to help,
let us worship God with the fullness of our being.
We see life, hope, and joy.
We bring heart, soul, mind, and body.
We share blessings and fears.
We bring faith and doubt.
With all that we are and all that we have, let us worship God.
So while you take a break, we're going to sing a song called Brave, and then after that we're going to attempt our very first round. It's going to be fun.
So maybe we should review the...
I'm going to review it. I am. So could you... So you folks are going to be singing, when we get to the part where it says group one, you folks are going to be singing, "It's All God's Children Singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, He Reigns." The band's trying to keep up. That's you guys. Then section two switches it up a little bit, and you guys are singing, "It's All God's Children Singing Glory, Glory." Sorry, it's all God's people singing glory, glory. And then, over here, we got the tough part. Hey, you guys, you're just confusing everybody. It's over here, it's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Yes, He reigns.
Hallelujah.
Maybe that part. So we're singing a totally different lyric, but we can handle it, right? No problemo. So when we get to the end, you'll see section one sings, section two sings, section three sings, and then we're going to sing it all together twice through. Hope the band got that. I switch it up every time.
Hallelujah, every tongue, every nation.
that where your order of service? We come together. Can everybody hear me? I don't even know which mic is on. I'm afraid of like blowing you people out of the audience. We come together in worship to praise God, to see God, to see God in each other. We come together because we know we are not enough alone and God means us to worship in community. We come together to see honestly who we are as Christians. And so we come together to also confess. I invite you to join me in praying the prayer of confession found in your order of service. You asked for my hands, that you might use them for your purpose. I gave them for a moment, then withdrew them, for the work was hard. You asked for my mouth to speak against injustice. I gave you a whisper, that I might not be accused. You asked for my eyes to see the pain of poverty. I closed them, for I did not want to see. You asked for eyes that you might work through me. I gave a small part that I might not get too involved. Lord, forgive my calculated efforts to serve you. Only when it is convenient for me to do so. Only in those places where it is safe to do so. And only with those who make it easy to do so. Father, forgive me. Renew me. Send me out as a usable instrument that I may take seriously the meaning of your cross. Amen. And with one voice we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us ours, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we have children's time. So we are working kind of in tandem here. Do you want the children to come and sit in these pews so they're up close and personal? It's your show. I think we'll invite the children to come up. She's got a lot of cool stuff to like share with you. I've seen some of her stuff sometimes. We're going to sing together the children's hymn, This Little Light of Mine. And that way you get a front row seat and you don't have to slip out into the aisle to see what's going on.
This little light of mine, I'm still a living child. Good morning. Well, while Ron is setting things up here, I would just like to welcome a wonderful group of young folks here today. I got to know Young Life Canada several years ago, well, not that long ago, when I was running the Burlington Prayer Breakfast. And Young Life Canada were tremendous supporters. They came to the breakfast. They would do readings for us and get very involved. And through that, I got to know Rachel Stevens. And Rachel is the area director for Young Life. Young Life Canada is a national organization. It's widespread Ontario, Southwest, and beyond. And at the last count, I think there were about 70 or 80 people involved in the Burlington-Oakville area. Am I right?
In Burlington.
So when people say, where are all the young folks these days? I know where they are. They're not necessarily here. These are brave young folks that are out in the school sports fields, in the bleachers, and talking about Christ. And we're delighted to have Rachel here this morning, and I know she's going to introduce some of her friends, and they're going to tell us a little bit about just what's going on as young folks worship God and live their lives for God in this community. Come on up, Rachel. Thank you.
Thanks, Gord. So yes, I'm Rebecca, actually, and this is Nathan, who is on Young Life staff with me here in Burlington. And it's pretty cool. I was a Young Life kid myself. I went to Nelson High School just down the road from you guys. And now, years later, here I am still involved because this has just been an amazing ministry in my life. As a high school kid, I got to see many of my friends come to know Jesus who didn't know him before. And Nathan was a Young Life kid as well. So it's exciting for us to be still involved years later in Young Life. And just to give you a little picture about what we're all about in Young Life, statistics say that about 10% of youth are reached by the local church youth group, and another 10% are reached by programs for at-risk kids, and that leaves this 80%. And Young Life says, okay, who's going to that 80%, the average high school kid that's just going through life and doesn't know Jesus? And so that's who Young Life works to reach out to, that average everyday kid that's maybe never heard about Jesus before and entering into their lives to tell them about Jesus. So before we kind of explain Young Life, I wanted to show one little video up on the screen there.
No matter where you live, all kids are the same.
Every kid has this desire to be loved. Every kid has this desire to figure out what the future might hold.
They're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose.
They're looking for something of eternal significance to believe in, whether they know it or not.
Young Life is concerned adults moving into the teenage culture.
We are the arm of the church to reach out to kids who would never come to church.
We do that by going where they are.
We enter into kids' worlds.
We invest hundreds and hundreds of hours developing relationships
in the hopes of building trust, having fun.
We'll go wherever kids happen to be.
We have been going to field hockey games. We have been going to basketball games.
And just walking with them through life.
We don't criticize them. We don't judge them. We just accept them for who they are.
Going to where kids are is not something you do once a week or once a month. It's something that happens day in and day out.
And that's what I teach my leaders. And they go, well, it was bad. Well, show up again. And you keep showing up. And you're consistent.
Because consistency and faithfulness will lead to trust. And it's only when trust is built that we have gained a hearing with the kid to share with them the greatest news in the world.
Young Life Club is controlled chaos.
We have a great once a week event. We do music and skits.
It is crazy games, crazy skits, crazy characters, kids acting crazy, messy.
Club is fun. We did a lot of different stuff.
All pointing towards and building towards being able to hear the gospel in a unique, fun way. Young Life Camp is kids going full tilt, having the funnest time in their life in some of the most beautiful places in the world.
You get a chance to go somewhere for a week where you experience things for the first time. And they'll go like, what, have you ever blobbed? No, what's a blob? Or have you ever been on a zip line? No, what's a zip line?
The beauty of Young Life Camp, it gets the kids out of crazy environments and allows them to be in a place where they can really hear from God.
Whatever camp you go to and club starts, people run in to get a front row seat. There's music and there's humor and there's a whole lot of fun and laughter, but there's also a talk at every single camp club meeting and kids want to hear. They're captivated.
The message sometimes is very touching, sometimes it's very deep, and sometimes it's funny but straight to the point.
Every kid has the right to hear about Jesus Christ in a way that they understand.
If they respond to the gospel, that's incredible. And we want to help them grow in their faith.
And if they say no, we're still going to love them.
It's for us with a calling to go to them and go, I've got good news for you that could save your life and change what you do in the way that you go.
All that we do is about changed lives. And I know that because my life has been changed through Young Life.
Campaigners is for kids that want to take the relationship farther with the Lord.
They're trying to learn what it's like to follow Christ. They can poke around, ask questions.
You see their lives change, and you see them change directly related to their drinking in of the gospel.
So many people and organizations write off kids.
You're dealing with kids that you see so much potential in, you know, that you can see the future for them, a beautiful, bold future for them, and they can't see that themselves.
We get to know them and call them by name, just like God knows us and calls us by name. It doesn't get any sweeter than that.
For me to be part of that journey with them is a huge privilege.
We want to enter into their world and go, you know what, you are worth it. And I'm going to chase after you, and I'm going to love you, and we're going to have fun together. And my hope is that one day I'll get to tell you that the God of the universe loves you like crazy.
So I think that video does a pretty good job of explaining what Young Life is all about. But Nathan and I are going to also go through what we call the four C's, because we think in Young Life that's kind of the best way to describe why we do things the way we do and how it all works. And so my slideshow is on its way up. good sign. Maybe I'll just start on the first C, and then the slide will join me as I start. But the first C is called contact work. And contact work is what Gord was mentioning earlier. Contact work is Young Life leaders entering the world of high school kids. Oh, perfect. One more slide over. Yeah, contact work. So Young Life leaders entering the world of high school kids. We don't wait for our teenagers to come to one of our programs. We go to where they are. And so in Burlington, we have 8 Young Life leaders. Some of them are focused on Nelson High School just down the road. I'm focused on M.M. Robinson High School, and some are focused on Hayden High School. And some of us are directly involved as volunteers. Nathan's the volleyball coach at Nelson, which is really cool. I am not so sporty, sadly, so I help out with the choir at M.M. Robinson. And some of us are volunteers, but some of us don't volunteer directly, but we're showing up at sports games and at school plays, and Young Life leaders spend their Friday nights having movie nights with kids or going out for lunch. But the whole idea is building these relationships, these trusting relationships with these kids on their turf, where they're comfortable. We believe in Young Life that we have to earn the right to share our faith, to share about Jesus. And so as we build these relationships, we get the chance to do that. So that's contact work.
The second C that we wanted to touch on briefly is called Campaigners. And Campaigners is the name that we give to our high school kids, our high school missionaries, who say that they want to go deeper with their relationship with Jesus, and they also want to learn what it means to share their faith with their friends in their high school who maybe have never been inside a church before or who've maybe never picked up a Bible. And so what we do as leaders is we really come alongside our campaigners, our Christian kids, and we teach them what it means to be missionaries, what it means to be leaders in their friend group, at their high school, and in their communities. And so once a week we'll meet. Usually we in Burlington we meet on Sundays in the late afternoon with our Christian kids, and we'll share victories with each other. We'll talk about what is God doing, how is God working in the life of you and in the life of your friends. Then we'll study the Bible together, we'll have dinner together, we'll pray together, and a time of community. But really, like, what Campaigners is all about is teaching our high school Christian kids, what does it mean to love your friends? What does it mean to be a missionary exactly where God has placed you? I think a lot of times we have this idea and this perception that to be a missionary, you need to go to Africa, or you need to go to the four corners of the world, and that's all great stuff, but there's also a mission field right down the street, in the local high school, in our communities. And so with our campaigner kids, we teach them, this is what it means to love your friends exactly in the place where God's put you and exactly in that sphere of influence that you have. And so we really work about developing their faith and leading them closer towards Jesus so that they can then go and share their faith with their friends in a way that's not strange or not weird or not threatening, but instead in a way that just shows their non-Christian friends in the high school how much they're cared for, how much they're loved, and how much they're valued. And so that's Campaigners, and Campaigners are really like the backbone of young life. As leaders, we can't really go in and do what we do without having the support of our Christian kids who believe in the mission and who believe that their friends deserve that right and that opportunity to hear about how great Jesus is. So that's Campaigners, and that's the second C in Young Life.
Awesome. The third C is called Club. And you heard it in the video described as controlled chaos, which is a good description. It can be very loud and seem a bit chaotic at times. In Burlington, we have club on Thursday nights, and this is, like Gord was saying, we have an average of 75 kids every Thursday night that come to club in Burlington. Most of these kids don't know Jesus. They're not from Christian homes. So that's a picture of club a couple of weeks ago of one of our clubs for kids from Hayden and MM. And club is this chance for these campaigner kids that that Nathan was talking about to share their faith with their friends that don't know Jesus. They invite their friends to club. And in Young Life, we believe every kid has a right to hear about Jesus in a way that they understand. And so club and everything about like why we do things the way we do at club is with that purpose in mind. So we have club in another teenager's basement, not a church, because a lot of these kids aren't in a place where they're willing to set foot in a church yet. And so club at another teenager's house is a lot more approachable, a lot less intimidating for them. We don't sing worship songs at club. We sing oldies like Sweet Caroline and Don't Stop Believin', songs that everyone knows and can just sing their hearts out to, with the idea that even a kid that maybe has never heard about Jesus before could come to club and feel like they totally belong, like they're not the odd one out, but they belong and that they fit right in there. Then we'll play some crazy game, and then a Young Life leader will get up and give a talk on the gospel, on who Jesus is, and they'll use humor, they'll use some of their own personal story and share about Jesus. And again, we work really hard to speak in a way that any kid, even a kid that's never heard about God or Jesus before, can just understand and say, maybe they say, that's not for me, or maybe they say, I'm interested in that, but either way, they get it. They get what we're saying. And we always at club tell kids, you know, wherever they're at with this stuff, maybe they want to know more and ask questions, maybe they don't, but they are welcome at club and that they can take it or leave it, everything that we say. And then we all go to Wendy's. So if you ever go to Wendy's on a Thursday night, it's a busy place, I'll warn you. And we just laugh together, keep building relationships, having fun together. And a really cool thing about club is kids come because they're so relationally connected. They're connected to their campaigner friend that invited them, and they're connected to their leader who's gotten time to know them through contact work and just building relationships with them. And so they come back week after week. So we don't have to try to cram the whole gospel into one club night. But over the year, we can just share these little truths about who Jesus is and what he did for us. And kids come back week after week.
And the final C that makes up Young Life that we wanted to just touch on really briefly is camp. And you saw a couple of videos and a couple of clips of camp a couple of minutes ago. And we love to say that at camp we try to give kids the very best week of their life. And so all throughout the year, the Young Life leaders and our campaigners have been spending time with their friends. They've been taking them out for lunch, going to their sporting games, coaching them, spending time in their world. And now camp is an opportunity to kind of get away and a chance to really begin to process and wrestle through who is Jesus and why does he actually matter. And so at Young Life camps, we love to have a lot of fun, and you saw some crazy things go on in the videos there. There's all sorts of games, activities, events, and it all takes place on these absolutely incredible properties that are just incredibly beautiful and really show who God is. But the real heart of camp is to have club every single night, and then afterwards a chance to have this thing called cabin time, where together with the leaders and the campaigners and the campaigners' friends, we'll be able to sit down and really begin to process and really begin to talk and ask questions and work through who Jesus is. And it's an amazing time for kids to kind of get away from home and whatever life is like back there. It's a chance to get away from technology and all these things that can be like so like prevalent in a teen's life. And it's an opportunity just to wrestle with God and to be like, where am I? And like, where do I stand? And who really is Jesus? And how can he actually make a difference in my life? And so camp is that like perfect opportunity for kids to really begin to explore for that first time who Jesus is and how he can make a difference in their life. And each week, a lot of kids will come back saying like, wow, I just felt so like impacted by this week at camp, and I can't wait to come back next year. Just this past year, one boy came back from camp and he said that my week at Young Life camp, I felt more loved by complete strangers than I've ever felt loved back at home. And when I first heard that, like, that just really impacted me. And that's something that we really try to do at camp and just in Young Life in general, is show kids that they're known, that they're valuable, that the God of the universe has called by name, and that they are just so incredibly loved. And a lot of kids might not have that love at home and in their school, but we try to make sure that as soon as they come to camp, they just know how incredibly valuable they are and how loved they are. And one other great thing about Young Life camp is that we don't just send our kids there and then, you know, spend time with them for a week and then never see them again. But as leaders, we've been earning that right to share the gospel with them all year. And so we go to camp and we have this incredible opportunity to be with them throughout the week, help them process the gospel. But then we come back with them as well and we keep spending time with them. We keep being a part of their life. And so whether they come back from camp and say, yes, you know, I'm fully in, I want to start this relationship with Jesus, or whether they say, eh, thanks, but no thanks. As Young Life leaders and as campaigners, we say, well, no matter what, we're still going to be part of your life. No matter what, we're going to keep walking alongside you. And no matter what, we're always going to be there. We're always going to be there for you through the ups and the downs of high school. And so that kind of gives you a bit of a summary of what Young Life is, what we do, and what we're all about. But we also think that it's so important to be able to hear from our high school kids and hear from the people that are actually involved in it and that are actually in their high school trying to meet friends and trying to be an influence in their life. And so I'm going to call up my friend Connor Boos, who's going to come and share with you just for a couple minutes about what God's been doing in his life over the past couple years. And Connor's a grade 12 campaigner at Nelson High School, and I got to know him a few years ago when he was in grade 9, and it's been so incredible just seeing how God's been at work in his life, and he's got a really great story to share briefly about some of the things that he's learned and some of the ways in which he's seen God work.
Hello, I'm Connor, and one of the things that I've been able to see God work through, that I've seen him work in my life was through, like, didn't really have anything to do too much with me. It was more just seeing him work through my my friend Josh and my leader Nathan were there. And so it just started out with a lunch. Me and my friend Josh were just going to lunch with our leader Nathan. And we saw our friend Griffin and my friend Josh just wanted to invite him out for lunch, so we just invited him and he came along. And then at lunch we started talking about our trip to the Great Wolf Lodge that we do with Young Life every year, and Nathan and Josh just really started like hyping it up and really wanted to like get him out to Great Wolf Lodge. So Griffin was able to sign up that night and come to Great Wolf Lodge, which was super cool. And then he ended up falling in love with Young Life in general. And just after that, he was able to come to our summer camp, Saranac, that we talked about. And he was able to go on this new believer's walk we have, which is kind of just a first step into building that relationship with Jesus. And all this is just super cool to see, as it didn't really have anything to do too much with me. And I was just able to watch God work through my leader, Nathan, and my friend, Josh, and work with my friend Griffin as he was able to take those first steps in his walk with Christ.
Thank you. Well, did you know that was going on right here in Burlington? It's amazing. Rebecca, Nathan, thank you. And all of you for coming out this morning. I'd kind of like maybe if you would look at, on us as kind of your grandma and grandpas. And as you know, grandmas and grandpas like to help. So we have a little gift for you today just to help with all the work you're doing and the great work you're doing in God's name. Thank you.
Well, actually, the good folks here at Burlington Presbyterian gave me notes to the visiting minister. And in the notes to the visiting minister, it said that we sing a verse while the children leave. And then this morning I got here and they said, oh, the children aren't leaving, so we're skipping this slide. And I would invite Susan to read the scripture this morning.
The Old Testament reading is Nehemiah 5:1-13. Now there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish kin. For there were those who said, with our sons and our daughters we are many. We must get them grain so that we may eat and stay alive. There are also those who said, we are having to pledge our fields, our vineyards, and our houses in order to get grain during the famine. And there were those who said, we're having to borrow money on our fields and vineyards to pay the king's tax. Now our flesh is the same as that of our kindred. Our children are the same as their children. And yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have been ravished. We are powerless, and our fields and vineyards now belong to others. I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these complaints. After thinking it over, I brought the charges against the nobles and officials. I said to them, you are all taking interest from your own people. And I called a great assembly to deal with them. And I said to them, as far as we were able, we have brought back our Jewish kindred who had been sold to other nations. But now you are selling your own kin, who must then be brought back by us. They were silent and could not find a word to say. So I said, the thing that you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies? Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us stop this taking of interest. Restore to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses, and the interest on money, grain, wine, and oil that you've been exacting from them. Then they said, we will restore everything and demand nothing more from them. We will do as you say. And I called the priests and made them take an oath to do as they had promised. I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, So may God shake out everyone from house and from property who does not perform this promise. Thus may they be shaken out and emptied. And all of the assembly said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. The gospel reading is Luke 4, verses 16 to 31. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of the Lord.
Are we good? Everybody can hear me? Demonstrations, protests, and riots. The people are speaking. And right now, the world is getting very loud. You can't go to any of my various news feeds on my phone. There was a time we had to use the Toronto Star, but those days are gone. And I have 9 different news feeds, and yes, I'm an addict. But I have to stop, because everywhere you turn, there are protests and demonstrations today. I can't keep track of them. And that's embarrassing, because I am a news addict. So let's look at our passages this morning to find out a little bit about what God says about protests, riots, and demonstrations. In the first book of Nehemiah, we hear about a situation where the people have risen up and they are upset. They are being taxed to death, into poverty. They are being taxed into enslavement. And they are complaining loudly, and most importantly, they refuse to work. So Nehemiah is trying to build a wall, and his workers are like, man, we can't build your wall because we have to do all this other work for the king, for the taxes, and just to eat. And this upsets Nehemiah somewhat. So he calls the people together and he says, today let's make a change. Stop taxing your own people. Stop punishing your own people. Stop doing that, because you are ruining our economy and we will never get the wall built. And so the people, realizing what they're doing, smartened up and said, okay, we'll do what you say. We believe in the wall. And so they give back and they restore and they do all the things they're supposed to be doing in the first place under pressure from Nehemiah. And eventually the wall gets built. But the point of the passage is, here is a leader who heard his people in their outrage and their grief and their annoyance and everything else. not striking as we understand it, but simply trying to survive. And he makes it possible for his people to go back to work on the communal project. This is a leader who did the right thing. So from Nehemiah, we learn that if people have a problem and there is truly injustice, we have to stand up and we have to speak and we have to go to where the injustice is and do our best to try and correct it. And if we're lucky, we'll get it done. Right? We get to the passage in Luke, and Luke is always tricky. So here in Luke, we find Christ on a Sabbath day. And he enters into his synagogue, in his hometown of Nazareth. So it's like university students coming back for the weekend, or after you're married, going to church with your new husband. You know, he's an older guy now. He's not a kid anymore, but in everybody's mind's eye, he's still little Joseph the carpenter's son. And we all have those people in our communities of faith, right? They come back, and it's all very exciting. It was all very exciting. So there he is, not a leader, not a rabbi, but they hand him the scroll to read. And he directly quotes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it's almost verbatim what he says. He says, I'm going to free the oppressed. I'm going to defend those in poverty. I am going to declare freedom and the year of the Lord's favor. Today, I am going to do that. Just like Nehemiah, he is doing it right now. He's not doing it later, he's doing it now. And what do the people say? Huh, hometown boy did good. That's what they say. They're like, oh, he's one of our own, isn't he great? He's the Messiah. He's going to do great things here. It's going to be all good in Nazareth now. And Jesus turns to them and says, physician, heal thyself. That's what you're going to say to me, right? Physician, heal thyself. And you're going to say to me, you know, do what you did in Capernaum here. Create a miracle here. We want the miracle. Show us a sign. Do something amazing right now. And Jesus is like, no, I don't think so. Right? I'm not going to, you guys already know God. You don't need me. In Israel, there were many, many people suffering when Elijah declared no water. Many people suffered. But Elijah was sent to a widow who was not a Jew. She was a daughter of Assyria. Ancient Jews don't like those people. She got water, she got fed, and Jews did not. Daughters of Israel did not. Many, many, many did not. And that is Christ's point. God sent Elijah outside of the godly community. There were many people at the time of Elisha who had leprosy. For the record, I worked for the leprosy mission, and there still are. And so Elisha cured Naaman. Naaman is an Assyrian. He's not an Israelite. And what he's basically saying to the people in his community is, I'm going to cure other people. Other people are going to get the miracle. You're not going to get the miracle. You don't need the miracle. You know God. You've got the Torah. What do you need with a miracle? And just like that, the crowd goes from happy to furious. What do you mean we don't get the miracle? You're our hometown kid. You know, it's kind of like people expecting Wayne Gretzky to play in that little town when he's from up north somewhere. Right? He's not going to play there. He doesn't play at all anymore. I just dated myself. You know what? A little aside here. I was looking at the video from the camp, and I'm like, that's cool. I want to go to camp. And then she said, don't stop believing is an oldie. I went, I guess I'm not going to camp. Yeah. You know, so we have this example of people getting really angry. And then what they don't tell you in Sunday school is the crowd got so angry that they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. Now, who heard that in Sunday school? Y'all heard that in Sunday school? No, because they never tell you the juicy stuff in Sunday school. The crowd got so angry, the people that
If you were from this community of church and you went away to university and you came back and you declared yourself the person who was going to free those who were imprisoned, but we weren't going to do it here, y'all would rise up, pick that person up, take them to a cliff, and try to throw them off. That's how angry they were. Now, we all know in churches that doesn't happen. Y'all get together and you gossip, and they don't get invited to the ladies' tea or whatever. Right? There's no roast beef dinner for them. But we all have our ways of penalizing those that do not meet our expectations. Now, at that moment, Christ, being the Christ, being the guy he is, kind of picked himself off, dusted himself off, dead-eyed them in the eye, and walked right on through them and went on with his mission. In this world today, we have so many demonstrations going on. This example of a demonstration is how easy it is to turn a crowd and how you should respond to that. You know, in Chile on October the 6th, the government raised the cost of a subway token 4%. Now, 4% is not a lot of money. I mean, I'm not good with math, but 4% is not a lot of money. But it sparked public outrage. It was just that little thing that set them off. And 2 weeks later, schools and universities were shut down, major cities were shut down, and over 12 people were dead in riots. Right? On October 17th, I don't know if you guys know what this is, the WhatsApp. So it's this, you guys are hip. Okay, so I found out about WhatsApp last year when I went to India. And because that's how they communicate over there. They don't text, so I had to learn. So I know what WhatsApp is, and it's this little, it's like texting, only it's within a certain app, right? It's just, and texting is how you talk on your phone to young people, because they don't actually speak. So in Lebanon, they introduced a tax on the WhatsApp text. Sparked riots that are going on today. Millions of people pouring into town squares. And it wasn't about the increase in subway fare. And it was not about the tax on WhatsApp. It was just the little tiny thing that broke open the outrage and the public's demand for fairness. Right? We're talking about communities of people who have broad inequities. And if that wasn't a telling thing for me, fueled by social media and communication systems I don't even know about, no doubt, and things that kids do today that I don't understand, all of a sudden in September, were we not taken by surprise, at least I was, to find a youth movement like I have never seen and we will probably never see again, take to the streets 150 countries, over 8 million people demonstrating for climate change around the world. Something that wouldn't have happened when I was a kid because I had no idea what was going on in the world when I was a kid, actually. Who are we kidding? You know, we had a newspaper. They have the world in the palm of their hand. And they are angry and they are outraged and they are telling us so very, very vocally. And the world gets louder. Right? As Christians, we are called to stand in witness. We are called to be leaders for justice. We are called to be like Nehemiah. We are called to be like Christ, to make no mistake about it, Christ was a protester. When Christ told the Pharisees about Sabbath day law and broke Levitical law, he was a protester. When Christ told the wealthy not to sit at the head of the table, he was a protester. When Christ said that we should treat with fairness the widow, and when Christ stood before a mob and prevented them from murdering a woman, and when Christ touched the leper, he broke Levitical law and he was a protester. Christ was a big lawbreaker. I am not suggesting you break the law. Don't go home and say, I heard a preacher this morning, and she said, break the law. That's not what I'm saying. Point of clarification. But what I am saying is it is okay to stand up and announce publicly if a law is unfair or unjust. Right? we are seeing the world change. And for some of us, it's changing really, really fast. People who never had a voice before now have a voice. Right? We are called as Christians in a holy act of righteousness to stand up and demonstrate and protest. We don't all go on marches. We don't all stand up and scream at the authorities. Your protest may be small. Your protest may be a prayer. I grew up on the tail end of John Lennon's bed sleep-ins. I don't know if you all remember those. Those peace-ins where he and Yoko Ono sat in bed with signs over their head. Google it. You know, it was a big thing. It was a big thing. And now you know I'm not 29. You know, peace marches, civil rights marches, standing up and telling the world that something is wrong and using the force and power of a united voice is a Christian rite of passage. In some parts of the world, gathering for worship like we are right now is a protest, right? Sitting here right now declaring Christ our Savior, declaring that we believe, declaring that we are here together is a collective voice. And when we pray, in a lot of ways, we are protesting the world. We are called to be vocal. We are supposed to do what Christ said we are supposed to do. And I think it's interesting to note that in both passages, they said today. You know, in the Judaic passage, where Christ is preaching, those people haven't seen a prophet in almost 400 years. 400 years ago, someone said Christ was coming, and they've been waiting a long time. And like a watchman at 5 a.m., they've kind of nodded off. And so when Christ arrives, they don't really see him because they've kind of, you know, gotten weary and forgotten. But he's coming again, and we have to be ready for that. And we can't be nodding off. And to make sure that we don't, there is a whole generation of people coming up after us who are very loud, who are demanding change, both for the climate and for the economy and for societies where things are not fair. And we have to be listening. We have to be paying attention. And we have to take action, just like Nehemiah and just like Christ. We have leaders, and we need to inspire them to do the right thing, and we need to be using our voice and our pens and our blogging, which is where you complain online and people read it and then write you hate mail back. We need to be doing whatever it takes, whatever we can do, to make the world change. So as you leave this place today and as you go about your life, make sure that you are using what God gave you to protest what lies before you and needs changing. We never want to be apathetic. We never want to be callous. We never want to lose the opportunity to be a witness. We want to be strong in our voice, and we want to know that we are Christ-like when we go out and protest. Amen. I think we sing now. Yes. Oh, I don't sing now. So the offering will be received, and then when the guys are finished singing, we're going to sing together, Give Thanks. Do I give you the plates? Where are the plates? Over there. Yeah, just have to dig around a bit. Sure, go ahead, honey. You go do what you need to do.
Down, my dreams are fading down.
to the receiving of the offering. These gifts to you, that you would bless them and the hands that administer them, that they would be used to do your will, that these funds would be seen as a piece of ourselves, a gift, our tithe, our support, a way of saying yes, Lord, in our relationship with Christ. Amen. You take it. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? I know it's so un-Presbyterian of me, isn't it? Good health. Got it. With heads bowed and hearts open, God, we come before you this morning, humbled and grateful that we are in this space together, that you give us community, that you give us young people driven and called to serve other young people. Lord, we are grateful to have a place to worship in, that we are living in a country that allows us to worship. So, Lord, we offer up to you our praise and our thanks this morning. Lord, we're praying for the world in which we live. We're praying for those who are called to demonstrate in the streets, who are outraged, who are hurt, who are broken, who are oppressed. Lord, we ask that you would be a presence there, that you would keep demonstrations peaceful and yet impactful, that the governments would hear the people and make the changes, and that fairness would be the rule of the day. Lord, we're praying that you would find us a way through our environmental challenges, that somehow the toxic system that we have created can be resolved, and that every single person in this world will make our world a priority. Lord, we're praying today for those places who are suffering in war, for those places who don't have enough water, for our own native indigenous community. We're praying for our politicians that they may be led by you. We're praying for our leaders that they would hear your voice. We're praying that as people, we can follow leaders who are strong, who have vision, who will make the right choices, even if they are hard and unpopular choices. Lord, we're praying that you help us find our voice, that when something's wrong, we have the courage to speak up, that when we see something unjust, we have the strength to go and make a correction. Lord, we're praying that you give us that strength. We're praying that you anoint every person here, that they would feel your presence in a real and visceral way, that members of this community who are sick, who are suffering, who have economic issues, who are having difficulties in their workplace, they have challenges, Lord, and we know you know them well. And we would ask, Lord, that you would heal those who need healing and preserve those who need preserving, and remind everyone that you are here and that our problems are resolvable because with you all things are possible.
We are praying, Lord, for this community, this church, that it would continue to be a support to young people just starting their faith walk, that they would hear that missional call and continue with their finances to support those young people who go where the young people are, who aren't afraid to go to sporting events, who aren't afraid to go into clubs and to drama clubs and to lead singing. Lord, we ask that you would embolden this community to support them well. Lord, we pray for the minister of this community that on this day he is somewhere well, that he is having rest. Lord, we ask that the leadership of this community be blessed always. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final song is All Creatures of Our God and King. Oh, who knew that was going to happen? I'm just taking it off because I have two mics. It's very confusing. Sorry.